Please and turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 12. I'm going to read the passage that we have been memorizing, or at least some of us have. I'm going to read the entire chapter and then make some comments. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may discern what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think sensibly, each one as God has given a measure of faith. As in one body we have many parts, and the parts do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, each individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of faith. If teaching in teaching, if service in serving, if exhortation in exhortation, giving with diligence, giving with generosity, leading with diligence, showing mercy with cheerfulness. Love must be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs, pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be in agreement with one another. Do not be proud, instead associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Try to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes, if possible, on your part. Live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for the God's wrath. For as it is written, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for in so doing you will heap fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need your help right now to understand what you would have us to do. And so I pray that your word and this sermon through the power of the Holy Spirit would flow through us this morning and change our hearts and change our minds and tune our hearts to sing your praise and to love each other as we ought, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to postpone my morning sermon on the book of John. It was about John chapter 1, verses 19 through 28, and it's ready. I actually had it in my Bible this morning. I came to the pulpit with two sermons, and I've been wrestling about which one to preach, and I've selected the alternative one that I wrote late last night. I did that to handle some family business. And I selected the verses that I read this morning carefully, the ones that we're currently memorizing, because they speak so clearly to the issue that I want to discuss with our family this morning. If you're visiting and you are expecting an exposition from the book of John or something else, please bear with us and come back again next week. If you're a regular attender and you thought that everything at our church was perfect, let me assure you, although we have an occasional bump in the road, everything is going to be fine, and God will protect His church, even if He has to protect it from us. You hear in my words this morning, nothing but love. I love this church. And I love you, each one of you. For all of us visiting and members, I want to discuss this morning and remind us that we're real people who make real mistakes and we're not ashamed of that fact. That's why we love the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God in our lives when we are helpless. We all have problems. We all make mistakes. We all sin. It's often more important how we deal with our problems than what the specific problems are. We as the body of Christ should be the quickest to admit that we fail and that we need to ask for forgiveness sometimes and that we have to freely offer forgiveness. Sometimes, like this morning, we have to stop and ask, how are we doing? It's my intention this morning to use as much as I possibly can the word we as I share. I'm speaking to myself as well. I'm not pretending to be beyond the very things I want to plead and caution us against this morning. If you think I intend to single any one person out, you are mistaken. I do plan to single out this body of Christ of which I am a part and admonish us this morning to do better in a couple areas. The verse I read from in Romans tells us that we are to be living sacrifices in the kingdom of God. We're not to be conformed to the world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds are renewed as we learn about God and His character from the Word of God, and as the Holy Spirit uses the sharp and powerful Word of God to teach us, even to teach us all things, as John 14:26 says, probably meaning everything that we need to know. We need the power of God through the Holy Spirit to teach us some things this morning. I've spoken with a number of people in the last few weeks who have indicated that they are weary of the way we are doing things here at Emmanuel. Some of you know exactly what they mean. Some of you have said that to me. Some of you have had your feelings hurt. Some feel like you haven't been heard. Others feel like you're having a hard time connecting up at Emmanuel. Some are just sore. A number of new members have commented that they think this is a hard church to get connected to or to break into a friend group. Some have felt there's cliques here that are hard to penetrate. I wish none of that were true, but obviously to some degree, some of it probably is. Some have made comments like it seems really easy here to step on toes. That ought not to be. We had several dozen from our church this week who went on a dual mission trip to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. On the mission trip, those who went literally put their lives on the line for the kingdom of God. They faced danger and drug deals and dangerous streets and stolen tools and more. And they returned home and one of our leaders, Jim Kelly, the chairman of our deacons, checked his email. And as he read, his heart grew heavy for our church and the way that we are relating to each other. He waited till the following morning to pray and think about the contrast between the courageous efforts of those on mission trip and the debates that were occurring at home while they were gone. He sent an email out at 10:30 the following morning to the leadership team to express his concern for our dialogue in his absence. His email is an admonition for all of us, and I will read that in just a few minutes. This past week at Emmanuel, there was an ongoing dialogue within our leadership team over an issue here at home that we're trying to iron out. The issue does not matter, and the issue itself does not matter, and we will resolve it. The specific nature of the issue is not important for what I want to say this morning. My concern is how we are relating to each other, both publicly and privately. We're all commanded to prefer each other, to show honor to each other, to love with brotherly affection, and we need to all work on this. As I began to think of the challenges that we are having, I believe that God has led me to plead with all of us to think much about how we relate to each other. We need to renew our commitment to love each other, to relate well, to handle conflict well, to express disappointment or content in a healthy way, and we're not doing the best at this sometimes. Beloved, the Church of Jesus Christ is the most exciting organization on planet Earth. No other business or corporation or entity of any kind even comes close to the scope of the worldwide church. The work that we do lasts forever. It has eternal implications. We see the gospel changing people's lives from the inside out. We see it healing broken families, comforting the weary, and giving hope to the hopeless, and teaching us how to live and act until God steps in one day and says enough, and then He rules with holiness and power forever with those who love Him at His feet. We as church members committee persons and committee chairmen have the joyful privilege of taking hundreds of thousands of dollars that come into our church every year and dreaming and planning and spending with joy to advance the kingdom of God the best way that we see fit. What a remarkable stewardship. What a privilege. What a joy. What a treat to be anywhere in the church of God and participate in what is happening. That is so exciting. And on top of that, as we, the stewards of God's money, plan God's resources and spend them, God continues to replenish the supply from the Holy Spirit-driven generosity of the people who value the kingdom of God more than their own wallets. May God continue to open the floodgates of His blessing on our fellowship. May you, as the workers here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, love to see your money at work in the kingdom of God all around you. So what's the problem, you're thinking? What would I like to talk about this morning? I would like to address two issues. One, the need for us to move on and get back on board again after we have been unhappy with the course of action that the church has taken. And two, I want to address how we talk about each other behind the scenes and behind the backs of others. Let me reread Romans 12, 10 and following. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be in agreement with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do what is honor in everyone's eyes. As much as is possible on your part, live at peace with everyone. The passage says to love each other, to be affectionate to one another, to rejoice, to persist, to pray, to not be wise in your own eyes, to be in agreement with one another. Some will always wish a decision was made in a different way. But as the body of Christ, we have the responsibility to get on board after a decision has been made. What do I mean by getting on board? I mean a lot. Being on board means that after a decision has been made by the body of Christ, I implement that decision like it was my own. Whether I was for the course of action or not, the church has spoken. To the best of our ability, we, as the church, when we make decisions, we discern the will of God. That's what we do here. It matters how we make decisions. Every decision is important. Every opinion is important. Everyone deserves the right to be heard at different levels, and then we make decisions. Decisions have to be made. We want our decisions to be right, but once we make one, a course of action is set. Sometimes in a church, we're called to trust others who make decisions for us. A finance committee, a missions committee, a nominating committee, and others regularly make decisions without church input. We authorize them to do so. If every member had a voice in every decision, we would never get anything done. We would be slow and sluggish in the simplest of decisions. Our church experienced a huge blow several months ago when Pastor Paul expressed his desire to resign. It was a difficult situation for all of us. Our personnel committee made a decision at that time with the information they had, and a course of action was taken. Some are still grieving over the situation. I understand that. But it's time to move on. Maybe some are still bitter as a result of that. Beloved, we must trust our personnel committee. They're appointed by the church to handle issues exactly like the ones they did. If you're still hurting over the outcome, I plead with you to move on. If you know someone who has not moved on, encourage them to do so. Some other decisions that we have made have resulted in similar feelings of disagreement and disappointment. I plead with you to move on from decisions that you would have made differently. Stop dwelling on past disappointments and spend that same energy looking for future opportunities. Let's commit to moving on after decisions don't go our way. Let's resist the urge to spread personal discontent to the church at large. Second, I want to address how we relate to each other behind the scenes. There are right and wrong ways to express disappointment with a person or a course of action. Ephesians 4:29-32 says it best. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ in God has forgiven you. If you share your grievances and disappointment with someone besides the person you have a problem with, you are sinning. If you listen to someone complain about someone else behind their back, you are enabling someone to sin. If you take your grievance to the source of your grievance, if you do not take your grievance to the source of the grievance, you have made a mistake. You have sinned. Sharing frustration and anger about one person to a different person only serves to poison the entire relationship that is happening sometimes at our church. We cannot allow this. Sharing a grievance with the offended party or the offending party does not always guarantee that you will get your way, but it does mean that you're more concerned about resolving the problem than hurting a person or discrediting them behind their back. So where do we go from here? Some of you are surprised by this entire conversation. Some of you think I probably shouldn't have said everything I just said. We should commit to pray humbly for our church and to thank God for those who have been spared from negative conversations. Some have bad or hurt or bitter feelings about the church or someone in it, and you know it. You don't want to feel this way, you just do. You need to ask God to give you a new heart. Maybe you need to go to a person and say, I am sorry that I feel anger and resentment towards you. Would you forgive me while I work and pray to move beyond it? Others are unhappy and have shared their discontent with the wrong person, and that is wrong. You have harmed the thoughts that others have towards people with whom you are upset. You should repent and ask God to forgive you and take away a bad attitude. You should, as you are able, seek the person out and ask for their forgiveness for your actions and attitudes. Some have listened to others' complaints and knew then or know now that it's not okay for you to listen while someone shares their list of grievances about another person without their presence. If the goal is not for healing, then it is hurting. You should commit to stopping the conversation before it escalates into gossip. You should not enable a person to sin by tearing down or whining about others in your presence. No one is more aware of his own shortcomings in this than I am. I am sure that I commit some of the same sins I just listed, and yes, I said sins. I want to be an example. I want to hold people to the standard that I strive to live by myself, and I want to be held to the standard that I just described. Emmanuel Baptist Church, I am asking that you, all with me, commit to doing better in our relationships. Can we commit together to do this? Refuse to complain. Refuse to be upset by things that do not matter or are trivial. Be more thankful for those that God has sent to serve around us and with us. Share our complaints directly with persons with whom we are upset. And if that does not result in resolution, then get some assistance with the goal of humble, loving reconciliation. Be slow to speak and quick to hear. Refuse to listen to people complain about others. Refuse to complain about others. Refuse to respond to hearsay complaints. Send people back to the source of their complaint. Assume that someone has good motives until we know the whole story. Trust leaders to make decisions even when all the information that you would like is not available. Resist bitterness at all cost. Do not be easily offended. Give others the benefit of the doubt. Pray for God to help us to relate in a healthy way. Two mission teams returned on Friday morning from Milwaukee, and our chairman of deacons sent the following email to the leadership team, and I am reading this with permission. brothers and sisters of the leadership team. I am late in responding to Kevin's original email because I've been out of town, and before I do respond, I would like to share a little about my trip. Four others and I went to Milwaukee, Wisconsin to help the people of Mount Horeb Baptist Church build their new church. Mount Horeb is an Afro-American church located in the heart of the inner city of Milwaukee. The new church is surrounded by taverns, three of them literally as easy as a stone's throw away. Crack houses and prostitutes and gang members and thieves are everywhere. A 6-foot fence surrounds the entire church property to lessen the amount of building materials and tools that they lose to thieves. All tools are picked up every night and taken home with contractors. We're told to not be in the neighborhood after dark for our own protection. I hope you get the idea that this is a tough neighborhood, because it is. However, the people of Mount Horeb were some of the kindest, warmest, God-loving people I have ever met. They did not fear their surrounding neighbors. They feared God. They also knew that God would protect them and see them through this building project. The project has seen its share of setbacks and problems, but the people of Mount Horeb continue to call out to God for His rich blessing, and God gives it in abundance. Needless to say, I came home on a spiritual high, because seeing God every time you turn around and being around people that love Jesus so much that they truly give up everything to build a church is so very contagious. However, my high took a slight turn for the worse when I got home, turned on my computer and read that my church, Emmanuel Baptist Church, God with us, was debating and arguing over certain issues while I was gone. Brothers and sisters, we have lost our perspective on God. And when I say we, I include myself. People are dying and going to hell all around us, and we are wasting time talking about who should or should not attend a meeting. If we put as much effort into reaching people for Jesus as we did writing and reading these emails, which involve such a trivial matter, we would save the entire town of Rochester in a short time. Unfortunately, some people in the church do not like Kevin. That's too bad. I, for one, believe that God sent him to Emmanuel Baptist Church for a reason. Is he perfect? No. Will he make mistakes in the future? Yes, because he's human. Fortunately, there are no perfect church members either, and we make mistakes as well, and we always will. God still loves us and takes care of us. Thank you, God. Folks, still reading the email. It's time to get our perspective back on God and off of ourselves. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about God and winning souls for the kingdom. I read a quote that was written by William Temple, an English diplomat. The church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. Take some time and ponder that. This email was sent out in love and with a burdened heart and was not written to any one person but to our leadership team. Neither was it written to offend any of my Christian brothers or sisters. Let's get on with doing God's work. Your brother in Christ, Jim Kelly. Emmanuel Baptist Church, we must not lose our focus and argue over trivial details. Let's put our energy where it matters in the kingdom of God. Yes, we still have administrative decisions, and we always will. But the administrative agenda is only a means to an end. The end is to treasure Christ, to share Him with others, to sacrifice our lives for the kingdom. I feel sometimes, as your pastor, like I have more to learn from you than you have to learn from me. But God has charged me to teach you the Word of God, and that is my number one goal as your pastor. God has charged me to pray for you, and I do, every day, almost without exception. I love this church. And knowing everything that I know about this church today, if I was asked again if I wanted to be your pastor, I would say, yes, I do, and now, more than ever. God is going to work here. God is going to continue to work here in ways that we cannot imagine, and I want to be here to see it happen. Beloved, we know that there's some of the ways that we are relating that are not okay. Let grudges go. Embrace someone you have not embraced for a while. Spend time and energy thinking how to be positive encouraging, joyful, and cooperative. Be humble enough to say, I'm sorry if it's necessary. Please forgive me, your pastor, for the responsibility that I bear when we lose our focus. The leaders of this church are going to expect members to act appropriately to one another. If you relate in ways that are unhealthy or negative or discouraging or divisive or complaining about others, you will lose your voice here. To have a voice, to be heard, to be at the table for issues that are important, your voice must be helpful and healthy. Your attitude must be gracious and warm. Please hold your leaders to the same standard. I'll tell you a good place to start. Come back tonight and listen to those who are returning from mission trips share about what God has done through them and love on them and encourage them and rejoice with them and cry with them and feel their joy and thank them for representing you in the ghettos of Milwaukee. Hug them and say thank you for going. Don't let petty grievances keep you away. Let's come together tonight and from now on and be what we say we are. Emmanuel Baptist Church, God with us, the fellowship of love. I'm going to ask the boys to come and sing a song for us right before we have the Lord's Supper. And I would like for you now to take your heart to the Lord and ask Him how you can help to have the best voice here possible. I invite many of you, as we sing this song, to join me at the altar as I seek God and ask Him for my part in this equation. We need God, and we should not be afraid to say so. It's appropriate that before this time of communion, we, as the body of Christ, look at our own hearts, analyze our own lives and our own motives, and give them to God and say, "Show me, Father, where You want to work on my heart." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive me if I have misspoken this morning. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would take the words and interpret them to our hearts and tell us what we each need to hear so that we can respond appropriately to Your Word and to this teaching. Father, make us Emmanuel Baptist Church. Make us God with us. Make us the fellowship of love. Father, give us the joy that we long for in this body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.